Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
There is a season that we, as the saints of Christ, the remnant body of Christ in the earth today, are entering into that is unlike any that we have seen before. And hopefully, preparation has been ongoing in your life against the days to come, because Jesus said that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived if those days were not shortened. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus told us that these days are going to be treacherous beyond what has ever been seen in the past upon the earth. Verse 21 of Matthew 24, for then shall the be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Then he says in verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Now, note, in Daniel chapter 1, we're going to read this chapter. It's not very long, and we're going to discover some things that are going to be extremely important and actually essential in overcoming in this last day. Notice, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, and part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his small g god. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his god. So he brings the holy things from Jerusalem that are used in the worship of God, and puts them in his idol god domain. And the king spake unto Asphanaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1 and 2, they will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And those very things are going to be peddled by the very false Christ and false teachers that Jesus foretold as the very first sign of the end of the world, which begins in verse 3 here in Matthew 24. Very important chapter for us to read over numerous times, to bathe our minds in this knowledge concerning this late hour, moving directly into, if not already in, the tribulation. So he says, many shall be offended and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Hate is a clear manifestation, a clear evidence that someone is not abiding in Christ. They may have in the past, they may have been born again, as we see many falling away today and have been for a long time, for years. They do not have the fruit of the Spirit, which begins with love. And the opposite of love is hate. They're not walking in love because they're not walking with God, who is love. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit, that is the fruit produced out of the born-again life that is presently abiding in Christ, And abiding is essential to the end as we're getting ready to read. Notice verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. To be in heaven with Jesus, you must endure to the end. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, some have as a vision to just make it through, but God has a vision for his people to be used of him to proclaim the good news and to lead people to Jesus wherever they are in this world, giving witness of the nail-scarred, risen, soon-to-return, coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Back to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel 1, we're going to pick up back in verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Now notice, we just read a minute ago about how the prince of King Nebuchadnezzar, Aspenaz, was ordered to take these four men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to assign them a diet, if you will, to be nourished 3 years, to eat the king's daily provision of meat and wine. And then we pick up in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head before the king. Now what's going on here is real simple. Ashpenaz, who is a servant of King Nebuchadnezzar, is fearing actually for his life, because if Daniel, Shadrach, and Abednego parts like a delicacy, it's like a meal all in one, absolutely delicious. Notice Ezekiel 4:9, which the bread is named after. It says this, take thou also unto thee wheat. Here it is, wheat, barley, that would be whole wheat, not stripped of the germ or the, a lot of, since the, about 1900, the turn of last century, the gin was created to sift out the germ, I believe it is, part of the, an integral part of the wheat, and that's exactly what led to heart attacks. So obviously this is very important for the heart. God made our body out of the dust, and he also made the herbs by which our body is to be fed. So here's what pulse is. Wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, fitches, and put them in one vessel. He says, make the bread thereof. There it is. It even tells you right here in Ezekiel 4 that they were to make bread and include, you know, these nutrients, these items, these foods, wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, fitches, put them in one vessel, put them together in bread, make the bread thereof according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side, 390 days shalt thou eat thereof. Now, isn't it interesting that in Ezekiel the prophet's ministry, God told him exactly what to eat in this very testing or trying time that he was getting ready to go through under persecution? That's a very interesting note right there. Okay, so the second place that we read of the specifics of pulse is 2 Samuel 17, 28. They brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentil and parched pulse. Okay, so back to our main text in Daniel 1. Notice verse 12 that Daniel is requesting that he and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, for these, that he would be given a trial 10-day run, eating pulse, which is basically Ezekiel 4:9 bread, specifically and exactly as was the recipe was given to us right there in Ezekiel 4:9. So he requests that they would be able to eat pulse, which included those, what, 4, 5, 6 ingredients, and water to drink, just water and pulse. Then remember, these are the people of God, and they are in captivity now to Babylon, which represents the world. And you see, this is completely microcosmic to where you and I find ourselves, because we are strangers and pilgrims, peculiar, the special people of God in this fallen world, in these final days, which Jesus said, as we read earlier in Matthew 24, are going to be the most trying times ever seen on the earth, before or after now. Verse 13, Daniel 1 continues, then let our countenance be looked upon, that is, after 10 days of this special diet that we request, then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. In other words, we want you to compare, after 10 days, our faces, our countenances, and the countenances of those who tuck their feet under the king's table already, the other underlings under the king that he used for his service and for the sciences, etc., as we read earlier here in Daniel 1, verse 14. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. So the servant was gracious, the servant of King Nebuchadnezzar, and he allowed them to eat the diet they chose in lieu of the steak and the wine and all the finest of foods that were sanctioned for them to have as being right there in the king's palace. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Now, isn't that interesting? They did things God's way, and the countenance of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego actually shone or appeared fairer and fatter, more healthy and more shining, if you will, in their countenance. Thus, Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that is, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even into the first year of King Cyrus. Okay, so we all know and should continue to study the great exploits that were done by Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Not only were they able to resist the temptation to bow to idols, and to lay down their lives, they did great exploits, or the Lord did them, surrounding those events, such as Daniel in the lion's den, such as the three Hebrew children being thrown into the fire, which was turned up seven times hotter than normal. Not one hair of their bodies was singed, and yet those who threw them in to the fire were killed, and they didn't even go into the fire. They were just close to it, and that's how hot it was. Daniel was thrown into a den of lions, and God shut the mouths of those lions. So, but there was preparation leading up to this point. If you don't think that preparation is important, then perhaps after this biblical message, you will begin to pray and to take this word very seriously. God can only use those, powerfully use those who know him, who seek him, and are being prepared by him. If you're being prepared today by the Lord, you're submitting to the cross of Christ, you're going to be used mightily by God. In fact, in Daniel 11:32, the Bible says, "They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Amen. That kind of mirrors or parallels with what Jesus said, that the gospel is going to be preached in all the world, all while there are great afflictions, there are great attacks and persecutions. That's the passage, that's the context of that scripture there in Matthew 24, verse 14. He's talking about enduring to the end through the wars, the rumors of wars, the nations rising against nations, and all the other things he mentions as far as afflictions that are going to be so bad that the earth has never seen such violence and terror. And yet, during this time, there will be those who allowed themselves to and submitted themselves to God and are going to be prepared, and they're going to make known the gospel to the ends of the earth, Matthew 24, 14. Praise God. Notice 2 Timothy 2:21. If that's a condition. Amen. Let's start in verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet or fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Are you being prepared? Are you submitting yourself to God today in order to be prepared and be used of God, be meet for the master's use, if you will, tomorrow? What you do today has consequences tomorrow. Remember in the days of Joshua, chapter 3, verse 5 of Joshua, Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Notice, sanctify yourselves. That means right now, today. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So they had to prepare today by in obedience to God in order to be used of God to cross over the Jordan River. Now we know that God is always faithful, but we must ask ourselves if we're faithful to God. Notice, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, and he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. So notice, a faithful man will abound with blessing. God will bless a man that is faithful to him. And we must ask ourselves if God says of us what he said of Abraham concerning faithfulness. Genesis 18, 19, God says this of Abraham, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." And there were great blessings for Abraham and his lineage to come, of which Christ would be born, as he obeyed the Lord. The blessings of God in our lives are conditional upon our abiding in Christ, doing things God's way and no other way. John chapter 15, notice how it ends here in Genesis 18, 19, speaking of Abraham and God blessing him, because God knew that Abraham would command his children. He would train up his children in the ways of the Lord. And notice the last part of this verse, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham, that is, if Abraham obeys, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Perhaps God has spoken in your heart, and maybe through a word of prophecy along the way, and assured you that he wants to bring you into a large place, as we read, I believe, in Psalm 18, to enlarge the tent pegs, to expand your fruitfulness through your daily obedience. And that is exactly what he requires, as we see intimated and conveyed clearly here in Genesis 18:19, when God is speaking to his and of his servant Abraham, that being assured and comforted that Abraham, God trusted him, would command his children after him, would teach them the right ways of the Lord, would train them up in the right ways of the Lord, as we read in the book of Proverbs. And therefore, God was going to be able to bring upon Abraham the blessings that he had promised. In Joshua 24:15, we read, in fact, let's start in verse 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Gotta love that. Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth with a pure heart. Amen. Motives that are purified by God and through our own, the act of our will to be pure before the Lord. Keep thyself pure. First Timothy speaks of. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Have you declared today, especially you gentlemen, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? We will fear the Lord. We will serve him in sincerity and in truth. In other words, we will serve him according to his prescription, his truth, as is given in his word, and by no other. Okay, we've covered a lot of ground in this message so far. Let's go ahead and circle back around and bring to a close this message with diet in mind. And diet is to be driven by desire. Let me use a little bit of a illustration that most of us understand. You know, I talk to people all the time. They ask me, you know, about how to get in shape and work out. You know, your desire has to drive everything. If you desire to have a fit body, that desire, you have to choose that desire to be fed and brought to a place where everything in your life is governed by it, as far as your diet and working out and drinking lots of fresh, clean water, eating living, live foods, etc. Okay, you just going through the motions of working out, or just even a diet, is not going to bring the desired results. The desire will cause those other things to come into place. When your desire is to have a fit body, you will be willing to do whatever it takes, if you will, to bring that about. Okay. And when your desire for God is so great, everything else in your life will revolve around, will be governed by that principal, primary, first love desire, and the not only a desire, but obedience to worship God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love the Lord supremely as the first love of your life. When your life is out of order, it's because you don't love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You have something else, some other idol, as we just read in Joshua 24, that they were to put away the gods, the small g gods, the idols of their lives, and choose to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, he declared, we shall serve the Lord. Amen. Joshua 24:15. And we'll do that in sincerity and in truth. and be willing to, because of the overriding principle truth that God is first, that Jesus Christ is our first love, we're going to put away the gods. We're going to put away all idols. God is not going to coexist with idols or any sin in our lives. So we have to come to a place of repentance today. That means to repent, to turn back to God. I don't know about you, but that's a regular occurrence in my life. Repentance is to be the initial entrance into the kingdom of God. Repentance and faith, Acts 20:21 brings them both together, marries them both, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, but not only is that initially essential, but it's also essential on an ongoing basis. Okay, and hopefully that will become less and less needed, although I don't think it'll ever be obsolete in our lives on this earth. But as we abide, as we see God take away the intermittency, if you will, in our relationship with Him, to where there's a perpetual abiding in Christ. John chapter 15. Did Jesus speak about diet in concerning the final day, the lives of His people in these final days? Well, you know what? The answer to that is absolutely yes. He's speaking in Luke 21. Let's go to Luke 21. He's speaking of when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Now, I don't know about you, but I have never witnessed a more relevant period of time than we're witnessing now, that this verse is totally alive and relevant to us. I've never seen it. We are seeing all these things that He forewarned of and foretold us of that are coming to pass in this last hour. And He's quickening us, and we must obey to look up and lift up our heads, because our redemption draws nigh. Notice verse 24, Luke 21, Jesus says, "And take heed to yourselves," lest He's warning us because He loves us, "lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting." You know what that means? Overeating, overindulgence. Wow. And drunkenness. Whoa, there we go. See, Daniel and the three Hebrew children chose the pulse. They chose the diet, the intake of food and drink, pulse and water, instead of beef and wine, in order to prepare themselves before the Lord to overcome, not only to overcome, but to do great exploits. You see, the Bible speaks of those false teachers in this last day, of which we're inundated with in the modern church world, that their God is their belly. Isn't that interesting? Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, their God is their belly, or carnal appetites. Belly meaning carnal appetites. Okay, so let's take a look at their God is their belly. I'm finding that passage right now. Well, let's see. Belly appears a lot of times in the Bible, doesn't it? Sure does. Okay, here it is. Okay, Philippians 3, 18 and 19. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." The enemies of the cross of Christ. Think about that. You see, either Christ will crucify sin out of your life, or sin will crucify Christ out of your life. You're not going to make it, my friend, and you're not enduring to the end. You're not abiding in Christ unless you are denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Christ. You must ask yourself today, are you Christ, or are you an enemy of the cross of Christ? See, if the cross is, you're not allowing the cross to take its full domain in your life, take center stage to keep self crucified out of your life, then you're not abiding in Christ, okay, and you're not enduring to the end. Don't, let me encourage you, do not deceive yourself. Honesty is essential to overcoming and enduring to the end and being with Christ eternally, according to Jesus Himself. those out of an only those out of an honest and good heart, notice honest, interesting, and good heart are going to be with him. They're going to bear fruit unto everlasting life. Luke chapter 8, verse 13. Notice verse 19 here, Philippians 3, whose end is destruction. They're going to hell. Those who are the enemies of the cross of Christ, you see, either you're embracing the cross of Christ, in other words, the cross lifestyle that Jesus taught, where you're denying yourself, not embellishing, esteeming, and celebrating yourself, but denying yourself, taking up your cross and following him. Amen. You're not esteeming yourself, you're esteeming Christ. Therefore, you're willing and desirous and obedient to crucify self and to elevate Christ and others above yourself. That is the stated mind of Christ, Philippians 2, 3 through 5. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind, the one he just spoke of, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That is the mind of Christ. Elevating Christ and others, not yourself. Because you are crucified with Christ, which is the only way you're enduring to the end, the only way you're abiding in Christ, the only way to serve God is the cross life. It's unfortunate that most who listen to this message have never even heard this message. That's why we do a program every week. We've got probably about 130-minute segments of myself interviewing Brother Travis Bryan III, Judge Travis, one of the, if not the most foremost teachers on the planet today, on teaching the cross and the cross life. You can access those on safeguardyoursoul.com. You can go to the Travis Bryan III category. I highly recommend that you nourish your hearts and you camp out on this message of the cross. It is not optional if you're going to be with Jesus. It is optional, but only those who choose to go the way of the cross, the way of Christ, the way he taught, are going to be with him in the end. All others will be like the foolish virgins who are shut out of the eternal kingdom, Matthew 25, 1 through 13. If you're not following Christ's teachings, it's because you are not following Christ. You cannot follow Christ any other way than by what he taught. Okay, some people listening go to church every Sunday and they think that's good and that they're learning the Bible, and they're not in most cases. Okay, they're not being taught to get in the word for themselves, which is the mark of a false ministry all by itself. We better get our own eyes on the scriptures or we will be deceived. For more than one reason, those who love God devour his truth. They love his truth. Jesus said to the Father, and prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 19, Philippians 3, whose end is destruction. Those that are the enemies of the cross of Christ, their end is going to be destruction. That means eternal damnation. Whose God is their belly. Notice, their God. They serve their own belly, their own carnal appetites, whose glory is in their shame. They glory in things they should be ashamed of. And what else? They mind earthly things. They're not about heavenly things. They're about earthly things. And then he says, for our conversation, our whole way of life, that's what that means, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody who is serving Jesus is looking to him. They're looking to heaven. Their whole focus of their life is to heaven and to Christ. They look for his soon return. Let's finish back in Luke 21. We're talking about diet, Jesus, and the last days. Did Jesus speak of diet concerning being ready to meet him at his return? He sure did. When he talked about looking up, when he talked about when we see these things come to pass and instructing us to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draws nigh, he is telling us exactly what Paul just told us at the end of Philippians 3. We look to heaven. We look to Christ, who's soon coming. And here's how we do that. Take heed to yourselves. Verse 34, as we finish here, friends. Take heed to yourselves. That means take personal responsibility, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. At any time. Because he cometh in an hour when you think not, we read in the scriptures. Jesus' words. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. Luke 12:40. So take heed to yourselves. Take personal responsibility. Lest that nobody else can do it for you. It's up to you. You're going to be judged for whatever you do, the choices you make in your own personal life, and by no other standard other than the Word of God. You're going to be judged individually, in other words. Not for what somebody else does, but for what you do. And no one else will be able to help you on Judgment Day except Jesus. And he will do that if you abide in him and truly repent. Perhaps this message is a Psalm 51 moment for you, beloved. I encourage you to snuggle up with, if you will, pour prayerfully over the words of David as he came to a time of needed repentance in his life after gross sins. Take heed to yourselves, Jesus said, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged or weighed down with overindulgence. It uses the word surfeiting, overeating, overindulgence. Isaiah 58 is the most concentrated teaching in all of Scripture on fasting and prayer, and how God will break the yokes out of your life. He will set you free if you follow his prescription in Isaiah 58. So he's warning us about our hearts being overcharged with overindulgence. How do our hearts become overcharged? They become overcharged or burdened down when we are overeating, overindulging on the foods and the things of this life. Apparently, Daniel, who walked with God, understood that. Therefore, he set the course for his diet, his and those he oversaw, that is, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. 1 Chronicles 22:19 says, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Predetermine it ahead of time. It won't just happen haphazardly. I love to declare every night, Lord, I thank you that if you wake me in the morning, I am going to wake up seeking your face, delighting in thee, O God, and loving you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, studying your word, poring over your holy scriptures, and seeking your face in praise and prayer. I love you, Jesus. Amen. That's a great way to end the day, man. And praying Job 33, 14 through 18 is another great addition to sleep. And godly sleep, sleep that God, we can ask God according to his own word to watch over us and to minister to us in our sleep. That is Job 33, 14 through 18. Okay, so Jesus is warning us to take personal responsibility that our hearts never become overcharged or weighed down with overindulgence, surfeiting, and drunkenness, and cares of this life. They might not even be sinful in themselves, but they can also overtake your life and drown Christ out of your life. We have all and should all be familiar with that possibility. Jesus spoke in Mark 4:19 of the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in and choking the word of God to where it becomes unfruitful. So Jesus is saying here, Luke 21:34, he does bring in diet. First thing he talks about. Well, next to taking personal responsibility, that is. Then he gives specific instructions and concern things we should be concerned about with overindulgence in the things of this life, drunkenness, cares of this life, and so that they come upon us unawares. I can tell you on a personal level that as the Lord has blessed me and led me to fast and pray, which I like to do for the first 2 days of the week, every week, that would be actually the first 2 weekdays, is to set aside indulging in food and drinking lots of fresh water, cleansing the body also as a second benefit, drawing nigh to God, establishing and setting the course that Jesus Christ is going to reign in this life. It's got to be a militancy, beloved. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. It's time to drive the stake in the ground, saints, and take it by force violently. If we don't take control of our time and our lives and our body and the stewardship thereof, our lives, our time will take control of us. Who do we love the most? Do we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Not self. No, he didn't say anything about loving self. That's already innate. That's part and parcel with the fallen nature of mankind, the old man, the sinful nature. Okay? We are to love the Lord, and we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the only two commandments Jesus gave right there. There's only two, not three. In fact, he even says on these two commandments, hang all the law and the prophets, to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Somebody here today might be listening who finds himself realizing that Jesus Christ is not their first love, as did Jesus cite the Ephesian church in Revelation 2, verse 1 through 5. He said, you have left your first love. You have a form of godliness. You go about doing good works, but you have left your first love, and therefore you must repent. Repent. Get back to the top. Turn back to me before it's too late. For as a snare, verse 35, Luke 21:35 and 36, as we close this message, for as a snare shall it come on all them, that is the return of Christ, shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth, as a snare, as a trap, instantly. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And that is going to include, first of all, your spiritual diet. You're searching the scriptures, studying to show yourself approved, staying full of the Word of God daily. Nobody's going to feed you as you are supposed to be feeding yourself. They're not going to do it for you, especially not in the whole part of it. You have to learn to seek God and His Word, to pour over the Holy Scriptures, to get up early and put Jesus first, to lay the foundation of your day and your life in the bedrock of obeying God, of studying His Word and putting it into action in obedience, of seeking His face in prayer. Jesus says, watch ye therefore here, pray and pray always. In other words, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Jesus says men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. He taught that. And he says here, watch ye therefore and pray always, perpetually. You see, prayer is to the spiritual life what breathing is to the physical life. If you stop breathing, you die physically. If you stop praying, if you stop in a life of prayer, not only a prayer life, but a life of prayer, then you're going to die spiritually. You will be like one of the five foolish virgins who are shut out of the eternal kingdom of Christ and sent to hell. We've been warned. And we have some clues. We have some nuggets of truth all over Scripture, including in Daniel, on what our diet is to be. First of all, that would be illustrative of our spiritual diet, if you will. The Bible is to be our spiritual food. Desire the sincere, notice, milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Milk is a food. He's using an illustration. The end of Hebrews 5. He says, strong meat belongeth to those who are of full age. Okay, also Job speaks of, I have desired thy word more than my necessary food. Okay, more than my necessary food. Job, a man after God's own heart, counted feasting on God and on His Word more important than his own necessary food, because the Word of God is eternal. the life we have in this temporal world is just that, temporary. And that would be Job chapter 23, verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. In other words, Job kept the word of God. The Bible says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves, James 1:22. Then he says this, I have esteemed or counted more important the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. As we close, I want to ask you, friend, are you preparing your life for the days to come? Are you preparing for the soon return of Jesus, which could be today? Have you decided, like Daniel and the three Hebrew children, to watch, to take heed, personal responsibility to what you eat and how you indulge in or set yourself apart from indulging in overeating and drunkenness? Knowing that your heart is overburdened, and by overindulgence, which will lead to a life of walking in the flesh and not the spirit. The Bible says that we're to walk in the spirit and we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's what Daniel was doing as he followed Christ. Him and the three Hebrew children were setting the course of their life, were setting their heart to seek and to serve the Lord their God. And therefore, that governing truth, which was the overriding priority of their lives, to have Jesus as first love, dictated and governed what they ate physically and what they did in their lives. In the book of Daniel, we see where he prayed three times a day, would not bow down to the unlawful order of the king Nebuchadnezzar in those days, which sought to stop him from seeking God and to bow down to an idol of gold. But Daniel refused to be an idolater. He knew that God would not share his glory with any man. And so the grace of God also conjoined with the preparation, the obedience of his servant Daniel, who had from the inception of this book, Daniel chapter 1, as we read earlier, prepared his life, dictating his diet and what he drank to serve the Lord, to keep those things out of his life that would have drawn him away from the Lord, as Jesus said, being overcharged with surfeiting or overindulgence in drunkenness and the cares of this life, can incapacitate us and cause us to miss the soon return of Christ and to miss being used of God in a powerful way, making known the good news of the gospel in this late hour. This gospel, Jesus said, will be preached to all nations, Matthew 24:14. And it's going to be preached by those who, like Daniel and the three Hebrew children, are vessels who have chosen to be meet or fit for the Master's use in this late hour. And they're going to be strong because they do know their God, and they're going to do exploits by the grace of Jesus Christ. He's going to use them as his vessels of honor in this late hour. We should have as a vision, according to the counsel of God's word, not only overcoming, but being used of God to be fruitful, to help others, to edify the body of Christ, to reach others who are not saved, to get the word of God delivered to the people so that they can choose to repent or not to. That's up to them. But we're here to serve them up the hot bread of heaven, so that they can taste and see that the Lord is good, if they choose to, if they will. The scripture says in Revelation 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride, the Holy Spirit and the bride of Christ say, come. See, the true bride of Christ is beckoning people to come. That you will know a true believer by those who are beckoning people to come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17. God bless you, friends. Thank you for listening. And may God use your life. May he use this message of his very word to quicken in you the blessing and the gift of repentance in the Holy Spirit. Fear of God, and pour out his spirit afresh on you and refresh your life and establish you in the faith, rooted and grounded in Christ and fruitful to his eternal glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month. And your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site. And you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so. And a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.